because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And this is Rewind, Wisconsin Eye's summary of this week in the Capitol. J.R., we had the first public hearing. Mm-hmm. It was in Brilliant. 200, 300 people there. They took testimony from about 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. I listened to, more than 4 hours. You know, I ought to get a life. But really, I think the most people testifying talked about K-12 issues, both public and mm-hmm. private. Second, of course, is the cuts to human services, the yes. IRIS debate, senior mm-hmm. care. So let's talk about the four major K-12 decisions that are going to have to be made in this budget. Okay? Fair okay. enough? First, the funding cut. If you go to Fiscal Bureau, JR, and you know this, current state aid to K-12 is $5.19 billion, governor's budget $5.07 billion. That's a cut of $120 million. How significant is the cut, JR, considering that it's really only a 2% cut, but they've been promised more?
Well, the issue is Governor Walker saying, look, you know, we're going to hold property taxes flat, we're going to give a big boost in the second year, but the net impact is the decrease. It's a hard sell for Republicans to go back to their districts right now and say, look, we did a $1 billion tax package a year ago, basically, that cut your property taxes, cut $100 million of your income taxes, and rearranged all of the withholding tables. Now we're going to come back and say schools are flat for 2 years. That's a hard sell for them right now. Republicans will tell you that they, number one priority, if they find money or if they get better revenue estimates in May, is going to be K-12. So I would expect right now that they'll do everything they can to find more money for K-12 and boost it up. Now, the dance you have to do with Governor Walker is he is obsessed with property taxes.
Yes.
So you can't have a plan that raises property taxes and get it past the governor. Would he veto the whole thing? What would he do? How could he write it? That's right. To be determined. But that'll be a delicate dance for them of how much money can you put into K-12 to keep property taxes flat or maybe down a little bit while still giving a boost overall in spending.
A key part of this debate on funding K-12, JR, is rural schools. Mm-hmm. You now have Tom Tiffany, who represents, you know, northeast mm-hmm. Wisconsin, and Mary Chaha from rural areas.
Yeah.
So he did say in his budget message, I'm throwing some more money to rural schools, but do you think it's enough?
Well, enough is always a hard word to define in the Capitol. I mean, if you ask schools, they'll say no way. We need more and more. Things are going up. Governor Walker's argued, look, we gave you tools, you know, 4 years ago now to help manage costs. That should be helping. You should find new efficiencies. Bottom line, though, I think they're going to find more money for schools some way, shape, or form. Now, again, how do you make that mix? Because remember, it's a mix of property taxes and state aid with that cap. Where's that cap going to end up? That's a big, big question.
That's true.
And how much money can you put in to keep that cap close, you know, bump it up enough for more spending, but still fill it with state aid, not that property tax pot.
Okay, the second big issue in K-12, the accountability issue. Mm-hmm. You know, JR, it intrigues me. They have been talking about their differences on accountability for 4 or 5 weeks. Why is the Assembly so hung up on some type of sanctions, and Governor Walker in the Senate saying no sanctions for failing schools?
Well, actually, this issue has been going on for 2 years.
Well,
The talks fell apart a year ago, basically around now.
Thank you for the update.
Over the same issue, right?
Yeah.
Sanctions or no sanctions. And part of it is that the Republican argument is you have to have some kind of hammer, if you will,
yeah.
for schools that are failing. How do you stop them from failing? Just, okay, well, don't fail anymore? You know, what do you do? So that's their mentality. The governor, his approach is, I just want a clean bill that says, parents, here's the information that you want
yep.
to figure out what's going on.
Right.
You make the choice.
Right.
The Senate is saying, we could get to sanctions eventually, but we want to fix the accountability piece first, make sure it's right. And the accountability piece is mixed up with the what test are you going to use, how does it look. The smarter balance test was supposed to be part of these report cards this school year. The Senate passed a bill this week saying let's put those off for
yep.
a year because of questions about that test.
That's where we're going next.
Which
yep.
replaces the WCKE. Oh, by the way, there's a Common Core issue out here, like where are those standards? It's all interrelated about what should you know about your schools, how your kids are doing, and how should schools be evaluated and teachers.
But just this week, Assembly Speaker Voss again dug in on mm-hmm. the sanctions issue, and he says if we can reach a compromise on accountability, we'll load it in the budget. If we can't, doesn't have to be part of the budget.
And what else?
They're still dug in, as you say, 2 years later.
Other thing he said was if we don't have accountability, we can't do school choice expansion. That was a big thing last week of, look,
big deal.
If you're going to expand school choice, you have to have some kind of piece. Now, the Senate, I think, I get the impression that they're they are there of, okay, if you're a failing choice school and you're not improving, we got to cut you off. You know, there has to be some kind of measure like that. But it's the
some piece, kind of hammer?
It's the piece with this public schools of, okay, you're the only public school in the entire county or what or in a giant region.
Yes.
If you are an elementary school and you're failing, you turn that into a charter school, what happens? I mean, who's going to run it? How's it going to work? It's the only school in that town, for example. There are no other alternatives. Like, there's no way for it to be a choice school next door. It's lots of complicating factors in the rural areas with that program or that
now,
proposal.
Now, you just talked about testing, and that's the third major thing I want to touch on. As you said, the Senate passed a one-year delay in, is it the Badger exam test?
Or? Yeah, Smarter Balanced Assessment, yes.
Smarter Balanced Assessment, Badger exam. Now, is that part of Common Core? So is that the first step in dialing Wisconsin back from the Common Core standards adopted in 2010?
That's like such a complicated.
I mean,
the bottom line is they want to get to a better test. Now, with the WCKE, that wasn't one they liked. You know, the questions
knowledge
about
knowledge and concepts exam. Yeah, everybody
how
hated
well it
that.
Measured people. Smarter Balance is supposed to address some of those things, but Smarter Balance also is taken online. So now you've got computer labs tied up for 7 hours a day to do have these kids do a test. What if the kids are sick? What if they can't make it to school? There are all these complicating factors of having that. So that's part of the problem. And then some people in the legislature want to have state-based, assessment standards, whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. that we're going to have a Wisconsin-based standard.
Yes.
Okay, great. The argument I've heard from people is, okay, write your own standard. That's fine. But if you write your own standard, and everybody agrees what the goal should be for 12th grade, 10th grade, 8th grade, if we all agree on what the goal should be, when you write your standard, it'll look a lot like Common Core in the end. So it's just going to be like who wrote the test.
Well, is there any doubt in your mind that the Assembly is going to go along with the Senate-passed bill putting a one-year delay on this Badger exam?
Well, what Jim Steinke, the majority leader, told me last week was, or 2 weeks ago, was we're going to do it, if we do it, in a package of reforms. It's not going to be like this bill by itself.
It's not a standalone.
So that was their position a couple weeks ago. Now, will anything change? Who knows? But they want to do a package of education reforms, one big push, maybe not one bill, but a package of bills at the same time saying, here's accountability. Again, they want the sanctions. Here is the testing piece, you know, putting the pause for 1 year. So how they pull that off, that's a good question because they haven't been able to agree for 2 years. Why would they be able to agree now?
Fourth major issue on K-12 public and private schools, expansion of school choice. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's a 1,000 slot limit outside Milwaukee and Racine. Mm-hmm. And the governor said, let's take the lid off, which is pretty popular until you look at the nuts and bolts, fiscal dimensions. First of all, it's so interesting to me that the governor is only going to send a voucher if you transfer from a public to a private school mm-hmm. because of the numbers of private to private, number of choice students who had been in private
yes.
schools. That's a big deal.
Almost three-fourths of kids who got in the program
is around 70%,
in private schools.
Right, which yeah. surprised many people.
Yes.
Okay. But now he's got this, we're going to average how much the voucher is going to be, and nobody knows what's that going to be. Mm-hmm. So how do you see the political dimensions over the expansion of school choice? And you're right. What Voss said is there's no expansion of choice without some type of a compromise on accountability. That was a big deal.
Now it's a big deal now when it's go time in May and joint finances having its final negotiation on the package of the budget. Will he stick to that? That's always, you know, it's always what do you get for what do you give up?
Right.
You know, so, but that's the position right now. So I don't know. I don't know. The thing about the choice expansion is the choice folks aren't happy with the funding formula, right? Because
right.
they're saying, well, that's not going to be enough to cover the cost of these kids. So
right.
how do you do that?
Right.
The public schools aren't happy because they're losing state aid. It's, nobody's happy with it, but where do you find the money to fix it? And what do you do instead? Do you do a graduated cap, you know, put it off for a couple of years? People want that to happen. Republicans want a choice expansion, the accountability piece. The choice schools want nothing to do with DPI at all, having them have a peek in, if you will, to what they're doing. So
yeah.
there's a complicating factor there with the accountability piece. So, I mean, that's still to be determined. It's one of the big pieces to figure out between now and end of May when joint finance will wrap up.
Yeah, and if you look at, as I tried to do once and it made my head hurt, if you look at where the choice schools are, most of them are in urban areas, very few in northern Wisconsin, in the Tiffany and Bewley districts and the Mary Chaha districts. It's just very intriguing. Okay, new subject. We've seen this movie. The Assembly says, let's go 70 miles an hour because we're an island, all of our neighbors, and passes the bill, 7622, sends it to the Senate. What about speed bumps in the Senate, JR? How high are those bumps?
Well, the bill went last year to, or last session in the Senate, and it died in committee because it couldn't get through. Right. And Jerry Petrosky, the chair of transportation, said we weren't there. The five members, I think it is, couldn't get it through. They weren't on the same page with the bill. This time it's been changed a little bit. It talks about freeways and expressways. So you're not talking about Highway 51, like Stoughton Road, where it's you've got crossings yes. at grade, if you will. Now you're talking about on-ramps and off-ramps and more safety features, so that might help for some people with safety concerns. But Petrosky said again, we'll take it to committee sooner rather than later, but it's going to be a safety discussion first and foremost. So where's the committee at on that discussion? That's not quite clear just yet.
But what about the 7622 votes? Because it's clearly got R&D votes, and mm-hmm. is that a bigger vote than it got 2 years ago? I think it is.
Possibly, yeah. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head, but you would think there's more momentum this time. They made some changes. There's also no requirement, I believe, for DOT to hike it. It's up
That's
to their
true.
Discretion.
Permissive.
That helps a little bit.
It
so
does.
I do get the impression you got a better shot than last time around, but it's not a done deal just yet. So
but when Tittle holds up the map, it does show that we're an island. All the surrounding states, you can go 70. And he says also the average speed on those rural interstates right now is 70. So we're just kind of legalizing all of our lead foots. But
I know you
would never speed. I was surprised. Joint Finance Co-Chairman Nygren and Dean Knudsen issued a statement, mm-hmm. and it said, operating autonomy, the governor's proposal for the UW system, DOA.
Yes.
Only a few hours earlier, he said life support and dead?
They're going to try to pull out of the budget. Now, Senate Republicans have a say in that, so there'll be debate about that at the Joint Finance Committee, but it's been moving that way for a long time, where Republicans aren't comfortable with the idea of giving up complete control of the University of Wisconsin system. Regents didn't help themselves a couple weeks ago when they had a meeting and said, we're sticking with tenure, we're yep. sticking with shared governance, yep. we're not changing the stuff, okay, if they're not going to put the state law, we will put it in policy. And the griping about the cut, it was like, okay, Republicans are saying,
business as usual.
Yeah, if you're going to change anything, what's the point of giving you the freedom
right.
if it's going to be the same standard operating procedure?
But I maintain one other part of that was a press release from AAUP, American Association of University Professors, mm-hmm. saying, we don't like autonomy. So, okay, who are you helping here? There was great frustration, gnashing of teeth up there.
Yeah. The Republicans don't want to give up control over tuition. That's a huge deal.
It is a huge deal.
If you give them the freedom to be autonomous, you would, in theory, give them freedom to set tuition without interference going forward. Now, the governor has said, okay, we could do a cap on tuition tied to consumer price index, just like the state aid to the UW system.
Yeah.
Here's the hitch, though. We both know you can't bound future legislatures to anything. So even if you say from this day on, tuition will be plus CPI every year, the next two-year legislature can come in and say, nah, notwithstanding that law, we're going to do this instead. Same with the aid.
JR, there are two other elements. Well, there were three other elements in the Nygren and Knudsen mm-hmm. thing. But the big one was, we are going to try to reduce the $300 million cut over 2 years. So that indicates that if we get new money, which is a big F in May, they're going to use it to try to reduce the cut to the UW and maybe not K-12. Don't you see two trains running on that issue if there's new money found?
I see K-12 as the bigger priority, especially because UW has this reserve that it can dip into.
That was another part of that press release.
Here's the thing, though. They're going to make requirement spend on more of the reserves. There is this constant debate about how much of that is needed in the bank, if you will. You should keep a cushion in your checking account, right? That's smart budgeting. That's what UW says. We're just doing smart budgeting. There's a standard we should have money in our bank, so if there is an emergency, we can dip into it. Also, by the way, lots of money is committed to future expenses. Lawmakers are going, well, if it's so committed, how come it's still sitting there? What's going on? So, yes, they'll have to dip in that money. There is a pot of money there. Plus, there is out-of-state tuition, graduate school tuition, and professional school tuition that they could raise to help offset some of the cut. Now, they're talking about a tuition freeze for in-state students.
Right, in-state.
But if you're from Illinois, yep. I got news for you. Tuition is going to go up.
But in-state undergrad, they're going to freeze mm-hmm. that. But boy, are they going to come after out-of-states and international yeah. and graduate students. There was a line in the Nygren and Knudsen statement. While some additional flexibilities may be warranted, the university system is not ready to become a public authority. What a smackdown statement, man. They're not grown-ups up down yeah. there? What?
Oh, yeah, they can't be trusted. Like, basically, that's it. They can't be trusted. And it's a, if you are a regent, what is your priority? Your priority is the health of the university system and the students, right? For lawmakers, their priority is that plus the health of the taxpayer. So there's kind of a constant tension, if you will.
Yeah.
And they're feeling like, well, you guys aren't taking care of taxpayers. You take care of, like, you know, the professors and the classroom. We need to have some kind of oversight of you guys that make sure nothing goes wrong.
JR, is there a pattern emerging here? The joint finance and legislative leaders are saying, we're not going to go along with the governor on UW authority.
On the box.
And now you reported yesterday, you got Fitzgerald to say about the governor's jock tax for the Bucks Arena. Go ahead.
Pretty much dead. Now, that's the $220 million package. Now, what Fitz is also saying is, we could do something smaller, but I'm working on a package to do no bonding to get something done. What's that look like? He won't say yet. It's not ready. Details aren't available. But it's very clear from what Fitz is saying is that that plan can't make it through my caucus right now. I can't get it through. And if I can't get it through, much like with the state trooper contracts yesterday.
Yep, rejected, proposed 17%, which the Walker administration negotiated, mm-hmm. and the legislative leaders, another smackdown. Is there a pattern emerging here that GOP leaders of the Senate and the Assembly are not going to hesitate to cut some of these major deals which don't include the governor's proposals?
It's been pointed out to me more than one time that this has been one of the most vocal opposition-type sessions to a governor's budget from the same party. Now, when it was Doyle, Republicans, whole different ballgame. But when you're talking the same party,
yes.
Republicans are talking up much more this session than they were last time about the governor's budget, or the time before that even. You know, I mean, Act 10, there wasn't much controversy over Act 10 among Republicans. They were nervous behind closed doors, but they were pretty unified on the floor. Look at this budget. It's like one thing after another of, we don't like this, we don't like that. Part of it is, there's a perception among Republicans that Governor Walker's not going to be around after 2018. That, forget about having the presidential race, okay? He wins, doesn't, whatever. If he's still around after 2016, the perception is he won't run in 2018. That, you know, 8 years is enough for him, which he said before. He said, you know, I don't be governor for life. 8 years, maybe 10's enough.
Right.
So there's this perception of, well, he's going to leave. It'll be our problems to fix once he's gone. And so there's a little bit of a early jockeying, if you will, for a position about strength in this relationship.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen, who's going to run if Governor Walker doesn't. Those kinds of things are kind of also percolating below the surface on this stuff. It's a lot of tension, if you will. Look at transportation. They're saying, okay, Governor Walker, you told us a year ago, big, bold reform to fix long-term health transportation fund. And he borrows $1.3 billion. They're going, this is our problem 2 and 4 years from now, regardless of whether you're here. We need something better to fix these issues.
But I was also intrigued when Speaker Voss was asked bluntly, is the governor's traveling the nation, laying the groundwork to run for president, does this mean he's less accessible to you? And the speaker said, oh, no, we talk.
Yeah.
So Voss had an opportunity there to say we have an absentee governor, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. He covered for his party.
Well, absolutely. Later. And let's be honest. I mean, the governor introduces the budget, but then it becomes the legislature's budget. They get to do what they want to it. Every legislature tries to put an imprint on it, and that's what they're doing now. It's just that it's a more vocal opposition to big-ticket items than what you were hearing before. K-12, UW, transportation, there's some senior care is, you know, issue of concern.
These human services, which I hope to cover next week, these are big deals. You have real people, the disabled, coming to the Capitol, coming to the budget hearings, making some tremendously emotional appeals. Mm-hmm. And you and I know that those emotional appeals from some constituents, they register. Next subject. JR, there's a whole new meaning to the term shop the pig. Right now, you can get free samples of beer, mm-hmm. you can get free samples of wine, and a bill on the governor's desk, free samples of alcohol.
Yeah.
Is this a great state or what?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But I mean, there are some people go, well, that's not smart to give out a bunch of liquor in a grocery
it's
store.
It's a half ounce, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
It is not going to get you knocked out, you know, unless you're real lightweight. But the argument is it puts liquor on the same playing field as beer and wine. And what's the difference? I mean, honestly, you get just as messed up on beer and wine as you do on liquor, so what's the big deal?
Okay.
So that's the thing. I mean, it will be a little bit different to walk down the store, the grocery store, and get a shot of vodka, if you will, or half a shot of vodka, whatever it is. But, yeah, it's coming soon, you'd expect.
Okay. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that. It was just intriguing that it was one of the first bills passed. Okay, time for the weekly. If it's Friday, our governor is in...
South Carolina,
Jay. Has his presidential bid had a good week? I mean, there was this dust up. You hire somebody as a media coordinator, and oops, she's off the social media coordinator. Mm-hmm. Liz Mayer?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, what's fascinating about this whole episode is that Governor Walker hired this woman on Monday, and by the next day she had resigned because of the scrutiny of her tweets, in which she basically made comments or perceived as being critical of Iowa voters and Iowa status as a First in the Nation caucus.
Yes.
Which, let's be honest, lots of people go, wait, it's a state that is overwhelmingly white and old.
And the governor was born in Plainfield, Iowa. You know, as we discussed, he's been hiring some pretty smart people, yeah, paying some pretty big salaries. Do none of them vet people like Liz Mayer?
Well, here's the thing. If you're a professional operative, does your opinion matter, your personal opinion matter when it comes to being an employee of the campaign? Now, yes, there is a certain segment that goes, no, it's all about the candidate. The candidate's opinion matters. You are there to help the candidate. It doesn't matter what you personally believe. Let's be honest. There are lots of operatives on both sides of the aisle who don't believe, aren't true to the absolute party ideology on every single issue. Right. That's not uncommon. So our folks say, no, I mean, this shouldn't be a big deal. It's her opinion. As long as she helps the governor, he's the main. Other folks say, actually, hires are policy. They are an indication of your judgment and who you surround yourself with if you're elected president. Now, the thing for Walker is he has presented himself as a straight shooter. Mm-hmm. I'm the guy who won't back down to anybody. 100,000 protesters in the Capitol doesn't bother me one bit. I never bat an eye. So what's it say when you won't bat an eye to that, but the Iowa State GOP chair says, can this
Mr.
person?
Mr. Kaufman says,
and she's gone hours later.
Yes.
So is that an indication of you aren't that strong, or is that an indication of you're pandering to people in Iowa? Or let's look at Walker's history. He also has a new controversy. If you're an aide for Governor Walker and you've made disparaging comments about Hispanics on Twitter, you're gone.
Yep.
If you are a DOT official and you made compared Hispanics to the devil, you are gone. Right? A campaign spokeswoman who's got busted for drunken driving, gone. He doesn't do controversy with that, doesn't do drama with staff.
Okay.
So it fits that pattern, but nationally it's a debate. It's really fascinating. It's a debate among conservative activists of what's to say about Scott Walker, the candidate, and the politician.
Well, it's interesting. Okay, he goes to Iowa twice. In New Hampshire last weekend. Right now he's in South Carolina, which is a state, I don't know who reported it, maybe it was your shop, kudos. Second lowest in the number of workers who belong to labor unions. Mm-hmm. I think it's 2%.
He played up right to work yesterday.
So he played up right to work. So has his presidential campaign had a good week or bad week marred by the dismissal?
It's kind of mixed because what's interesting is, look, a month ago it was like the national mainstream media was going, is this guy ready for prime time? And the conservative base was rallying around him saying, this is a great guy. Now it's the conservative media saying, this guy really got the medal he says he does. But the base still loves him. He goes to South Carolina, the reception is phenomenal.
Right.
Goes to New Hampshire, great press out of there. It's an interesting dynamic for Governor Walker of the base is still there with him right now. Now, at some point, might it fade away? Might there be too much a tipping point? Absolutely. But early on, the perception is it's him and Jeb Bush and everybody else.
Yeah. And just to PS on this issue before we get to your stock report, the governor went to the conference on tourism, mm-hmm, in La Crosse.
Texas.
And news organizations have been doing stories that he wasn't taking questions. I talked to a reporter who worked it, and he did take 10 or 12 questions,
yes,
in the gaggle. Okay.
And he also danced the polka.
And yep. Thank you for that update. Okay. Wiss Politics stock report.
So rising right to work.
I mean. Oh, you're talking about. Okay, go ahead.
So the joke has been in Madison for a long time. Every time they pass a bill, it becomes a lawsuit. And so here we go in Gain County Court. Act 10 was put on hold, voter ID put on hold. Right to work, though, Judge Faust says, no, I mean, yeah, you might be able to see, but there's nothing here that says there'd be irreparable harm to you,
right,
to stop this from going on, so no injunction. Pleasant surprise for Republican lawmakers who backed it, saying, hey, we thought we'd have to go to the Supreme Court maybe to get this thing done, but other legal challenges, other states, they haven't been successful.
Was this a big win for new Attorney General Brad Schimmel?
A little bit of a win, but you look at what's happened elsewhere, the precedent, and I haven't seen him overturned elsewhere. So
yeah,
it's kind of like, it's just the legal precedent. You kind of have to follow a little bit. Okay. So yeah, good for the right to work backers. They got it through the court.
That's rising.
Now.
Mixed.
Tammy Baldwin, you know, the charm offensive is going on as we speak. You know, she had this whole issue with the Atoma VA.
Yeah.
How she her office bungled this report. She fired an aide. She hadn't talked for weeks about what was going on. Finally, though, late last week, does the series of interviews, says mistakes were made. Here's this five-page summary of a report, a review that I paid for to see how my office did. Mistakes were made, but it was the staff that screwed up. We didn't sit on it, but there were mistakes made. I accept responsibility. Let's move on. For Baldwin, she's had a reputation for being great with constituent relations. This is a big, big mistake in constituent relations. The good news for her is she has time to recover.
Oh, yeah.
She's 3 years out from re-elect.
She was elected in 12.
If you look at the public policy polling numbers out last week, she was 38 approved, 42 disapproved, 20 no opinion. Now, those aren't great numbers, but considering it's been in the middle of a huge controversy for a relatively unknown lawmaker, it's not fatal. She can recover.
Yeah.
Now, Republicans will tell you, we've got ads already written in our heads about what we're going to go after her on in 2018. It's easy. It's a softball ad.
That's an eternity away.
But
in
it gives you time
politics.
To recover, and if she gets her stuff straightened out, you know, she's got some time to get back on top of things and be okay.
Okay. Falling.
The UW system, we talked, I think, a month ago. The worst case scenario was no authority,
right.
$300 million, and a tuition freeze.
Yes.
So we're looking at no authority. Fitz says, I like $300 million, okay, I can live with that. And there's going to be a tuition freeze of some kind. Now, there's some caveats there. It's not like total worst case scenario because Fitz may be just taking out a bargaining position, if you will. Maybe they'll come down. Nygren, Knudsen said, we're going to work for a smaller cut. Boss has said a smaller cut. What's it going to be? It's still going to be a haircut of good size,
yep,
right?
It really is.
The authority is going away, but there will be some flexibility. So they can save some money, but it won't be total freedom that they've looked for all these years. And the tuition cap, everybody's on board with doing it, but what's it going to look like? Will it be the CPI for years, you know, in perpetuity? Will it be just a two-year freeze? There is some room there to make up some of this cut through the out-of-state people and the professional programs, graduate schools. So there is some breathing room for UW. And, oh, by the way, the reserves are going to get a hit. This is all said and done, too.
But I don't hear anybody yet or right now saying that the much-loved Ray Cross is not wasn't the best choice to be president. Are you hearing that?
No, what I do hear is complaints from Republicans that the Walker appointees of the Board of Regents have Stockholm Syndrome, that they were sent down there to kind of be conservatives, and they're now kind of gone native. I mean, Tommy Thompson used to say what?
Yes.
I send him up the hill, don't see him.
I appoint him, send him down there, I never see him again, is what.
Until they ask me to be reappointed.
Yeah.
And the criticism of Ray Cross has been from Democrats saying he should have fought harder, he should have known you weren't going to get, you know, even if you sucked up to Republicans, they're not going to give you everything you want. So fight, you know, bare knuckle brawl. Republicans say, well, look at Rebecca Blank and the other chancellors, you know, crying, this is going to be horrible. Didn't help their cause at all with this. We actually were kind of offended by them going into our backyard saying they're trying to, you know, basically kill this system and kill this campus. Mm-hmm. That's not sitting well with them. So it's just, it's not the worst case scenario, but it's not a great day either for UW system right now.
I agree. Hey, looking ahead, we have two more public budget hearings. Monday, they're at UW Barron County in Rice Lake. Thursday, they're at Reedsburg High School. Anything to look for in those?
I mean, you're seeing a pattern evolve of K-12, IRIS,
yep.
Senior care.
Yep.
You know, those are the big things. You get the occasional guy like in Brilliant Save Public Radio and TV. You have the occasional person.
I think
person.
There were three of them that said, yes. Don't cut $4.2 million public radio and TV.
You got somebody that said, hey, we want the school choice expand. You get the occasional person about something
yep.
different, but there is definitely a theme, which honestly, every hearing I've covered has been the same. It's always been about education and social programs. Always
yep.
is.
Yep. Okay, closing question. Any Russ Feingold sighting yet, my friend?
If you follow his Twitter feed, he is all over Wisconsin. He's eating breakfast. He's going by his old jaunts in the neighborhood in Janesville. So he's warming up, if you will.
But he's not letting news reporters like us find out where he is to do interviews yet,
nope.
right?
He's still off to Stanford to go teach some point pretty soon. In fact, Republicans are having a great time calling him a Stanford professor constantly to try and say he's out of touch. But yeah, he's just doing the little get to know you again kind of tour.
Maybe we should ask viewers. If you've seen Russ Feingold, please alert us. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And that's Rewind for March 20th.